This TFMR podcast is brought to you by your friends at JM Bullion. Visit jmbullion.com for all your gold and silver bullion needs. Well, hello again, Turdville, Turd Ferguson, checking in. Tuesday, December 4th, 2018. Very, very interesting day across the global markets. Hope you had a chance to be watching, because it was an intriguing day. And so we're ready to dive in, take a look at what happened, and begin to look ahead to the rest of this week. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. Now, before we get started, you probably know, but I'm here to remind you that the U.S. stock market is going to be closed tomorrow in observance of a day of mourning for old man Bush. Far as I understand, the bond market's still going to be open, but I might be wrong. Also seems as if the COMEX is going to be open. So I suspect there will be a need for at least a post tomorrow. Whether I need to do a podcast remains to be seen. We'll see how it goes. May take the afternoon and mourn my golf game, perhaps. Lack of golf game. We'll see. But man, what a crazy day this was. You know, there was some talk out there that part of the deal, at least here temporarily, that Trump struck over the weekend was to get the Chinese to come back into the U.S. bond market, because we need the cash, right? Well, I don't know if that's the case or not. And I don't know if they've decided just to move all in at once to try to invert the yield curve, force the U.S. into recession, and thereby, after sensing weakness in Trump, force his hand. Maybe that's too simpleton of an explanation. I have no idea. But man, oh man, the bond market is just soaring. And at the same time, the stock market is in the toilet. Tried to rally yesterday. It looked like, you know, it's going to be this great day. Maybe not. The Dow today down 800 points. The S&P down 90. And man, it was a battle in the last half hour. There was the most ardent defense of the 2700 level that I've seen in a while, put up by whoever it is that seeks to manage the stock market. Now, again, maybe I should stop here and remind you of how this works, because you think, oh, come on, the stock market's not manipulated. Let me explain to you in the simplest terms how at least I believe this works, because, yeah, you're right. The idea of the Fed or the Federal Reserve Bank of New York working with some primary dealers to buy the stock market is foolish, right? I mean, yeah, sure, the Swiss National Bank holds a couple million Apple shares, that kind of stuff. But how are you going to buy trillions of stocks to manipulate? Right, it doesn't work that way. But with 90-some-odd percent of the volume of the New York Stock Exchange now done by high-frequency traded computers, and those computers controlling trillions of dollars, if you can get the computers to do the work for you, then you can manipulate the market. And so what drives the computers? The biggest two most important inputs for whether the computers are going to buy or sell S&P futures are, of course, the dollar yen and the VIX. If you can buy the dollar yen and short the VIX, you can even do that as a paired trade. You can get the computers to buy SPOOs. So when things are really falling apart and smashing, all you got to do is watch the dollar yen and you can see the fingerprints. You can follow the footprints, however you want to put it in your metaphorical sense, of the Federal Reserve Bank of New York and the primary dealers. Today was blatantly obvious. I'll ask you to go back to the morning thread, scroll down through the comments, and find the post I put on there about 2:30, 2:45 Central this afternoon, showing you what was going on. I watched it. Anybody can watch it. God, it's not like I've got some secret sauce here. I watched it happen in real time. Dollar yen was held, was not allowed to trade below 112.75. Not that that's any kind of magical level. That's just the level that needed to be held to keep the S&P from completely shitting the bed. It had bottomed at 27.05 this morning, tried to bounce back, and it was right back to 27.05. And at the end of the day, I think that equated to, or they were targeting at least, a close above 2,700 in the S&P, or at least keep it from dumping You know, so the Dow doesn't finish up down 1,000. Because, I mean, Lester Holt on the NBC Nightly News would probably lead with that. Oh, holy shit, today the stock market was down 1,000 points. So you could see it, and you can pull up the comments from this morning's thread. You'll see those charts. It was held solid at 112.75. And then, just as the S&P started to break 2,700, suddenly, at the exact same time, the dollar-yen ramps from 112.75 to 112.80 in a minute, and then on to 112.83.84, saving the S&P from certain doom and Lester Holt from shaken confidence. Remarkable. Also remarkable, of the course, today was a dollar. At one point, the dollar index got all the way down to 96.38 before coming all the way back up to 97. And the fact that the metals held in there in the face of that all through the morning, actually kind of surprising. Deutsche Bank crushed for another 3% today, now barely clinging to 9. Remember all the work to get it to stay at 11 and then at 10? Now it's at 9. But by far the biggest story of the day is the bond market. We wrote about it this morning. We've been talking about this for years. The 2-year note today fell 3.8 basis points. That's a lot. That's a big move. Now it's under 280 at 279.5. However, the 10-year note got all the way down to 289, which was down 10 basis points at one point. Finished up down 8 at 291. If you really break it down, the actual spread, as I speak, between the 2 and the 10 is now just 11.7. But just last week, we were talking about 25 and 23 and closing in on, you remember, 18 is as low as it was going to go back in August. Now it's under 12 at one point today, around noon central, when the stock market was initially making its lows. It was under 10, got to like 9.9 basis points, flat. How else would you describe it? So there's this huge litany of concerns at this point. There's that, right? There's the trade stuff with China. There's the trouble in the Middle East. The U.S. is going to send a U.S. aircraft carrier task force through the Strait of Hormuz for the first time in like 2 decades next week. Got all that, like I said, all this tariff stuff. You got the market closed tomorrow. You got Deutsche Bank and all the European banks. You got France. They had 5,000 protesters last Saturday in Paris. All hell broke loose. There might be as many as 50,000 this coming Saturday. And then you got Brexit. May's government is on edge. It's all part of why, I guess, the dollar came back today. But look, this Brexit vote's probably going to fail, which means there's probably going to be a second referendum. And if there's a second referendum, who knows what's going to happen? And if Britain chooses to stay in the EU, the euro's going to soar. And if the euro soars, the dollar's going to puke. Is anybody doing all that math for next year? Well, we'll see. So anyway, it was a crazy-ass day. Crazy-ass day. And at the end of the day, I guess, I mean, you would have liked to seen more. The Dow down 800 and the bond market rallying like that. The fact that gold was only up $5 is kind of disappointing. But the way the dollar rallied back and the way the dollar yen actually kind of faded, if you will, went got all the way down to 683 to 1 yen, came back to 685. Put all that together, I guess we should feel okay that at least we're hanging in there. Again, the levels we need to best are still above us. I'll show you those charts in a minute. And it may take, I don't know what it's going to take to get us there before the next 2 weeks transpire. And again, we're pointing toward 2 weeks from tomorrow, the 19th of December, will be the conclusion of the December FOMC. There's going to be a rate hike. Okay? I mean, I just can't imagine there won't be. And the 10-year note is lower than it was back in February, which will have then been 3 rate hikes ago. March, June, oh, 4 rate hikes ago, for God's sake. So if the 10-year note stays here, it'll be lower than it was in February. And the Fed funds rate will be 100 basis points higher. 100 basis points higher. Full 1%. That's, man, I'm telling you, man, CGP's got a problem. He's pushing on a string at this point. It's going to be a wild year. I keep repeating to you, I think 2019 is going to be the best year in COMEX gold since 2010 when it was up 30%. Now, I don't know if that means we're going to go up 30% next year. I mean, all kinds of things could happen. Maybe we'll go up 300%. Maybe. Maybe we'll just go up 15. All I know is it's going to be a much better year, much more fun year than what we've endured here in 2018. All right. Today was a COT survey day. Also, a bank participation report will be pulled out of that COT data. And we're not going to get it on Friday because all the government offices are closed tomorrow. So it's going to be next Monday now before we get that stuff. But for what it's worth, yesterday, gold was up $14. Open interest came back $6,900. That is large specs coming in on the long side of the trade. You'll see that when we eventually get the COT. It's exactly what we talked about again yesterday in reminding you of the whatever 50-some-odd thousand contract net short position of managed money. And why we keep telling you about the technical positioning and how the 50-day is above the 100-day and rising and that bullish cross and all that stuff, it all fits together. So again, yesterday, with gold up 1%, open interest came back up by 6,900, still only 396,000, though, so it's got a long ways to go and a short time to get there. But check this out. Silver down, or I'm sorry, up 28 cents yesterday, but its open interest was down 3,800. Can you say short covering? Short squeeze? Yes. And now silver's open interest is all the way down and under 181,000. In fact, that's the lowest open interest total for COMEX silver in 15 months. So there you go. All right, we're going to start with palladium. I wrote about it again today. I hope you've had a chance to see it. You know what? Yeah, it's now live at Sprott Money. So all the first thing at this page, I guess, we'll put the link up here to what I wrote. Please, I really encourage you to read it. I'm not making this shit up, okay? This I firmly believe. I mean, you know that by now. Everything I write, everything I say comes from total sincerity and from the heart. This is a very, very interesting situation in palladium. First and foremost, did you see the update today from David Jensen? He's got guys on the inside at the LBMA, Commerce Bank, and Deutsche Bank, and all these places that send him this information because it's not readily publicly available. He had the lease rates on palladium on the LBMA at 15% yesterday. Yesterday. You know what it is today? The one-month lease rate for palladium. 22.3% is your one-month lease rate for a bar of palladium. I mean, staring you in the face, screaming at you, and giving you the finger is the palladium market. Telling you there isn't any. 22% for a one-month lease rate. Can you even fathom that? Now, I would assume, again, that this data is accurate. He's got it at nearly 18% for a three-month lease rate. Here, I need your palladium because I got to deliver it over here. Okay, but how am I sure I'm going to get it back? Well, I promise I will. I just need it for 3 months so I can deliver it over here. Okay, well, you're going to pay me 18%. Because I'm not sure I'm getting it back. So price responded up another 1.5% or something today. The futures board is in full backwardation from 1230 down to like 1120 a year from now. I'm sorry, full backwardation. That's crazy. I have no idea what's going to happen tomorrow. Maybe the banks are going to sell, just create, you know, a whole bunch. Increase the float by like 10%. And create a whole bunch of new paper palladium and try to slam the price down on the COMEX. The problem is, what if that doesn't work? Now they're on the hook for palladium. Of course, they got the accumulated whatever units, whatever that crap was that the COMEX just instituted, or the CME just instituted, you know, last month. We talked about it back on Friday. Maybe they're just going to come up with new fancy ways to bust up bars alleged to be actually deliverable, 1/10 of a bar. Who knows? But man, if I was a bank, kind of like the spring of 2011, I've been a little wary about creating new digital paper shorts of palladium if I don't have it. Remember how that worked for J.P. Morgan back then? They didn't have a vault. They got rushed through a vault. Now they got 150 million ounces, the margin hikes. You know, you remember how this all went. So that's what's going to happen with palladium? Is the CME going to turn into a liquidation-only contract like they did to the Hunt brothers? What good would that do if there's actually no physical palladium? 22% 1 month lease rate. Well, what good does it do to smash the paper price back to 1,000 if the physical price in London is soaring on the spot market because there isn't any? What good does that? I'm telling you, this is some wild stuff. I have no idea what's going to happen tomorrow or the next day. I just think it's fascinating. And again, if the London Bullion Market Association palladium market can be exposed for not having the physical supply and creating a market by shuffling around obligations and leases and loans and whatever, maybe a few smart people with cash will realize, maybe that's what the LBMA gold market's like too. I have to look into that. Okay. Anyway, your next chart is the dollar. I mentioned a massive dollar rally today for a number of reasons. But the fact that that happened and the metals held in there, well, it shows you the yuan influence, that's for sure. Okay, here's your stock market. A lot of talk just a couple of days ago about how, look at the double bottom. Oh, yeah, big double bottom down there at 2640. And we got back above the 200-day moving average yesterday. And I'd say we failed to hold above there. Would you say so with that candle? Man. And then the market's closed tomorrow? Oh, shit. Well, I can't wait for Thursday. And then finally, just your updated gold and silver. Again, this is a pretty solid-looking gold chart. I just wanted just to have you appreciate, you know, the scale and the look of the bottom here. Bottoming out back on August 15th, holding near 1,200 in early October, getting back above the 50-day and the 100-day, the 50-day crossing up bullishly through there, holding that as support back on Friday. Man, I'm telling you, you could sure see where this thing could feed on itself pretty quick. And that massive, still net short managed money position not only goes back to neutral, but goes long 100,000. That'd be enough to get us back up to 1,300 plus. And I don't know about you, but that'd be a start for me. Sure make me feel a lot better. Certainly pump some life into the shares, too, especially once the tax loss selling's over with. And then finally, silver. You can see what's going on there. Barely holding above the 50-day again today, a lot like it did whatever that was 2 weeks ago. So we'll see what happens tomorrow. I mean, the pressure from a rising dollar may be enough to force it back down. If anything, any rally attempt is going to hit the 100-day, which is now at 1482 and falling. And man, is that going to serve to blunt anything. So I'm not excited about silver just yet. I wouldn't want to wade in and go buy myself calls or anything yet because I think that'd be dead money maybe for a couple of weeks. But with gold clearly turning higher, silver is going to too. Silver has a massive managed money short position, all that stuff. So there's still a tremendous opportunity here for silver to go at least 10% from late this month into the new year, from 15 up to 1650. We've talked about this countless times, it seems like, over the last month or two. 1650, where the 200-week moving average is, where the downtrend line that goes back to 2.5 years ago, you know they're going to stop us there. But, man, silver could move really fast. And I think it will in kind of a middle of this month into Valentine's Day time frame, maybe even shorter than that. But it's not happening yet. We got to close above that 100-day and hold it. Then we got to get into the 15s. Then it's on. And I'm saving some dry powder just for that occasion. Lastly, I saw Professor Cohen last night on Tucker Carlson. He didn't have much to say, and Tucker didn't give him a lot of time, but that means he's around. So I'm hoping, against hope, that John and Steve record a podcast tonight, because, man, we need one. They didn't have one last week. I really would like to hear them discuss all these events that are going on around Russia and Ukraine. So hopefully they'll have one. You can listen live through the links on this podcast page. Or you can go to John Bashir's website, find other links, whatever. As long as there is one, we're going to post it tomorrow anyway. But if you want to listen live, I'm sure it'll be compelling radio tonight, 10 o'clock Eastern. And that's it. Okay, we'll see what tomorrow brings. Like I said, I'll at least write something in the morning. But, you know, if not much happens, I may give myself the afternoon off. We'll see. I'll keep you posted. But, man, come Thursday, we're right back into it. So hang in there, and we'll talk to you again soon. Keep an eye on things tomorrow. This is your pal, Turd Ferguson, and I'm out.